Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Good morning, everyone. Well, at the start of this series, I said that we're looking to change it up. And finally, I know it's taken to the fourth episode, I've delivered. We have our first guest away from the world of rugby. And although not many of you may know of him yet, I hope it's not long until you do. He has just had his breakthrough season in the Royal London One Day Cup for Hampshire, where he took 18 wickets across the tournament and helped take his side to semi-finals. And in those semi-finals, they are undone by an absolute masterclass from Darren Stevens. I know a lot of you here will be used to hearing about rugby, but trust me, if you stick with us, this won't be an episode to miss. In the longer run, we are looking to have as much variety as possible in the pod. Although rugby will still be our primary focus, we are approaching guests from all different sporting walks of life, and I hope that each and every episode we bring you can be that little bit different. For now, however, we are joined by the young South African fast bowler, Mr. John Turner. So sit back, relax and enjoy, and we'll see you next week. Right, well, let's get started. John, thank you so much for joining us. How are you?
Yeah, all good. Thanks, Freddie. Thanks for having me on your podcast. All good.
Yeah, so for those of you who don't know John, he is a student in the UK down at Exeter, but he's also originally from South Africa, but he's over here playing cricket. So he's been playing at Hampshire the last season and had a pretty good season. But John, do you want to sort of introduce yourself, tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, so obviously originally from Joburg in South Africa. Lived there my whole life. Been now in the UK for just over a year. So I got here in March last year. I went to boarding school in Hilton. So like an hour outside Durban. Basically fully from South Africa.
And then so obviously we've got you on today to talk about cricket. And has it always been cricket for you? Has that always been the sport that you love the most?
Always grew up loving sport, playing all the sports. I'd say my dad was a massive influence in that way. But cricket would be the main one. I started, I think, when I was 5 or 6 with one of my best mates. We used to go down to one of the coaches at school and get lessons with him. It was basically just to mess around and throw anything of the ball. Always loved it. And I suppose as it got more serious through high school, I started thinking maybe I could try and make something out of it.
So you mentioned your dad there. Is he a very keen sportsman as well? Has he ever done anything sort of prolific?
He loves sport. He never really played it seriously, but he always played it. So at uni, he played rugby and hockey. At school, he played all the sports. Cricket's probably the one sport he didn't really play. He's more a rugby player. So we've kind of opposites in that regard. But his dad was a massive sportsman. He played for the Springboks. So yeah, I suppose kind of got my genes from there. But then also my mum's side, mad sportsman. So yeah.
Yeah, cool. So obviously the reason we know each other is that we're at university together, but obviously so you've made this move across mm-hmm. the UK. Was that always sort of the plan when you realised that like sort of you had the opportunity? Did you always want to go abroad to study at the university?
Yeah, so university was always important to me and my parents, and then pursuing cricket at the same time. And the UK was kind of just an obvious option for that. You can do it in South Africa, but it's you can't really do it to the same level, besides for one or two universities. But then also being able to come overseas, create a new friendship group, make new connections, and try make a career in cricket here, or if that didn't work out, go into like the finance world or something like that. But yeah, I know I say probably when I was 17, that's when I really started wanting to come over, and just had to try and get my parents to buy in, but eventually they did it. And then they kind of became more keen than I was. Like my dad was really pushing me through COVID and all that to still pursue it. So yeah, it's good to be here, and obviously good to be at Exeter.
Yeah, obviously you're here at university, but then obviously Hampshire's probably, it's a massive part of your life in the UK now. Was it you who approached them, or did they approach you?
So that happened through our coach at school, Dale Benkenstein. He used to be the coach for Hampshire, obviously also then playing massive career at Durham. So he had connections here. So in 2018, myself and one of my mates, we came over for 2 weeks, lived or stayed at the hotel at the ground, trained every day, and just kind of experienced what professional cricketer's life was. And at the same time, Hampshire were able to see us and see if we could potentially try to pursue something in the future. So that's how that connection started. But then through the next 2 years, we stayed in touch, but nothing major. And then they always knew I wanted to study, so they knew I'd be trying to come over. And I was meant to come the COVID year. Obviously that didn't work out, but probably for the better. And yeah, I ended up coming March 2021 and being on trial for that season, and was fortunate enough to play some games and get offered a contract.
Great. So you talk about you had your 2 week trial when you were supposed to say 17 or 18. What sort of things did they put you through? Because obviously you were relatively new to them, so they weren't really quite sure. So was it just like a general sort of come in, enjoy it, and they'll see whether they take a fancy to you, or did they have specific things in mind for you?
Yeah, it was basically, I don't think they would have known much about myself and my mate, but they knew we were both fast bowlers. So I think that was quite exciting for them. And they basically, we just trained every day. They just wanted to see us bowl, really. So we bowled with the academy, we bowled and played with the second team. And then I think one or two occasions we played or trained with the first team. But yeah, it was just them recording us, getting as much video and information on us as they could. And like S&C work, we were in the gym, but not really. Just very like relaxed environment. Them just like really making us feel welcome and to enjoy the process.
What was that like as an 18-year-old rocking up to this professional setup with players you probably watched on TV?
Yeah, it was intimidating. I remember seeing Carl Abbott and like James Vincent, those guys, and like for instance Abbo now obviously being a teammate of his, but back then that was, he had just stopped playing for South Africa. I always looked up to him as a bowler. So to suddenly be near or in the same face of them, it was really intimidating, but at the same time, quite exciting and really motivating to see what they do day in and day out, and then be able to try and mimic that and really push for that. So, yeah, it was a great experience.
Did the senior players sort of take much notice of you when you came over for that two-week period when you're 18, or was it only really when you came back over they sort of appreciated that you were there?
Yeah, and only really when we came back over. So one or two of them we interacted with, but they're in the middle of the T20 blast. So they were like quite heads down focused. We were kind of just like a net bowlers to them, but they're friendly. If we needed duck help or information, they'll give it to us. But it was very much just us getting on with what we were doing and kind of looking up to them and seeing where we could potentially be one day.
And then, so moving to a new country at the age of how old were you in March? Were you 19?
No, so I was 20 when I moved. 20. Yeah.
20. So as a 20-year-old moving to a new country, did you find the move relatively easy, or did you have a bit of an adjustment period? How did you sort of find that? Because it's quite a big deal to do at such a young age.
Yeah, I probably didn't appreciate at the time exactly what I was getting into. I think having COVID was actually a blessing in disguise. So I was obviously, as I said, I was meant to come the year before, and that was like 2 months out of school. And I think to live by myself and still try to pursue cricket would have worked, but I don't think I would have been as successful and been able to enjoy it as much. I think being like a year older made a massive difference. I was a bit more mature, knew my game, but like on a personal level, I had a bit more confidence. So I think, yeah, being a year older there was a blessing in disguise for me. But then living by myself, so I lived with another South African who I didn't know, but we actually knew of similar people. So that made a big difference. A guy called Seamus Deploy, he was from Pretoria. So we were both on trial at Hampshire. But yeah, it was quite strange being away from home for 9 months. Quite hard, like not having family there, seeing all your mates. But then also the cricket side just kind of got stuck into that and made the most of it. Trying to basically be as busy as possible.
Yeah, completely. And so obviously you're over here to play cricket, but also to study. How have you found sort of the balance between that, as in going from Exeter to Hampton? Sort of, you've got a lot on your plate. Have you sort of managed finding it easy to manage, or there are times where you think, have I bitten off more than I can chew here?
Depends. There's definitely times I'm like, oh, I've bitten off a bit, yeah. But I think last year, kind of towards the end of the year, got the balance right. Hampshire have been great with it, to be fair. They kind of, while I'm at uni, they're saying just prioritize uni and make sure like I do well at all of that and enjoy the whole experience. So our director of cricket, Giles White, he's like really big into making sure I'm doing well academically, enjoying the uni life and have a good balance. But yeah, a lot of traveling back and forth, particularly like Jan, Feb, March. So I think I was going back, I'd spend Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday here, then Thursday, Friday, sometimes Saturday at Hampshire. So that became quite challenging. And I'm sure, as you'll know, the workload picking up second and third year, I can imagine it's going to be a lot harder now. So yeah. And then obviously the whole social side here, trying to balance that with the work and the cricket. But yeah, it's been a great experience. I find loving it.
Yeah, completely. I mean, from what everyone can tell, your cricket's not affecting from it, and your uni life doesn't be affecting from it either. So you've clearly got the balance pretty well. But obviously, past summer, that's sort of your big breakthrough season. Obviously, you got given the chance in the One Day Cup. How was it? Talk us through a little bit about it.
Yeah, so that's obviously like kind of seen as a development competition at the moment, which is great for guys like myself. Means we get a whole competition to play and be in the first team, basically. So played in that last year, and quite a young team last year. Also some older guys like Kyle Abbott was our captain. But that was a good experience. My game improved really quickly through that. Didn't probably do as well as I'd have liked then, but it meant coming into this year, I knew my game a lot better, and I knew what I wanted to do. So yeah, leading into the competition, kind of had high expectations on myself, as a team and a club, we really wanted to do well. So it was probably I put quite a lot of pressure on myself, which I do naturally all the time, which isn't great, but I seem to do that. But yeah, the competition itself was amazing, and playing the way we did as a team, I think the team really gelled. Particularly, so there was a game on the Isle of Wight against Northants where I think we scored maybe like 150 or 60, I'm not 100% sure, but we were like way below par, and went out bowling and knew it was going to be challenging. They were 60 or 70 for no loss, and we didn't give up, but you know, when you're on the field, it's kind of, this isn't going to happen. And ended up winning the game by 12 runs. I think we got 5 wickets for 10 runs or something. So experiences like that, like the team environment, was amazing. And just a privilege to be a part of, really.
Yeah, so you, Hampshire bowled out for 199 and you bowled out Northants for 188, so 11 runs.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, so that's actually, it's crazy that. That's one thing I'm terrible at is remembering like the fine details about games. So like scores and all that, I'm not great at. Scott Curry, he's ridiculous at remembering all of that. He basically became like our analysis for away games. He just knows everyone and everything.
Yeah, well, you took 1 for 18 that day, so you didn't have a bad day out.
Yeah, that. I think I got the last wicket in that game, which I'd say it's probably one of my, I wouldn't say favorite wickets, but like favorite moments, you know, to be a part of that. And the celebrations after that were also quite good.
And you weren't out batting, so I mean, nothing to blame for you there, I don't.
Yeah, exactly. I found a new love for my batting this year, which is quite good. Hopefully I can try get that into the uni side. I seem to bat higher for Hampshire than I do for our uni team.
What's brought about that new love for batting? Just more confidence or?
So boys, when I grew up, I was a batsman, not a bowler. I wasn't really ever allowed to bowl. My coach has never let me bowl until I was maybe 12. So I was always a batsman, and then when I started bowling, I just never batted. But I've always loved it and kind of thought I'm better than I come across as. But all bowlers say that. Then during the winter, I was like, okay, I need to actually spend time on my batting, really focus on this and kind of change my mentality around it. Put a bit more of a price on my wicket and not bat like a tail ender, try bat like a batsman. So that seemed to work a bit. Our batting coaches at Hampshire, Jimmy Adams and Tony Middleton, they've been really good with me on that and just kind of been positive and given myself some self-belief into that I can do this. So yeah, I think during this competition, I was batting twice when we won, which also more moments, which I'm like, I won't forget too soon.
So did you know coming into the summer how big a role you're going to have to play with Hampshire in the One Day Cup? Were you sort of told, oh, you will play? And I know you said it was treated like a development tournament, but it's still a first-class tournament. Like, it's still a big deal.
Yeah, I know. It's definitely still a really important competition. And I think as a club, we take it really seriously. Obviously, you never know if you're going to play or not. I was always hoping I'd be involved in it. And I had an idea I'd be around the group, whether I was playing or not. Obviously, that's dependent on selections and forms. But yeah, it's seen as a really important competition. Our captain, Nick Gubbins, he was big in prioritizing it and making sure we really want to win, playing to win and playing really attacking cricket, which filtered down from the T20 team, from our coaches, kind of a mentality the whole club's taken this year, just be really attacking and take the positive options.
I mean, as a campaign, it's obviously didn't go all the way, but you can't necessarily classify it as a failure. You guys got the semi-final. Obviously, you had that home semi-final at Kent. At the GS. How was that? Talk us through the day. With nerves, or were you just excited to get out there and play?
Yeah, really. I'd be lying if I wasn't nervous. But obviously, the biggest game of my career, and you don't get to knock out games that often. So I was quite nervous, but I think it helped we batted first. Just kind of get into it and settle down, watch the batsmen go about their work, and then kind of know exactly what you need to do as a bowler. And also helps opening the bowling for me. Means I can get my first over out the way, and then okay, I know what I'm doing now. But yeah, as a game, really, really big. excuse me. Darren Stevens obviously stole the show. Just kind of written in the stars that was going to happen. But yeah, it was a great game. Disappointing end to the campaign. But as you say, a successful campaign. I think if we were offered semi-finals before the start of it, I think we would definitely take it. So...
I mean, everyone who listened or followed that game saw the Darren Stevens innings and was 80 something off 60 odd. How good was it? As in, even though obviously you're on the losing side of that, how good was it to watch, and how good innings was it?
Yeah, excuse me. It was really frustrating, but really good to watch. You can just see he knows his game so well. He knew where he was targeting, knew what to defend, what to go after, singles, boundary balls, all of that. And I suppose everything also just went his way. One or two really close OBW calls, which I suppose 50-50s can go either way, and he was fortunate on that day. But yeah, he knows his game was also a lot more powerful than I ever thought he was. I knew he was a good batsman, but it was like a proper power game, which running into Bolton was slightly intimidating, actually, knowing his record, and seeing him do what he did that day in like front of us. It's almost like running in like, oh, okay, I can't miss the mark here as I'm traveling. And yeah, he's an unbelievable player, and won't be surprised if he gets another go somewhere this year. It'd be quite strange if no county picks him up, because to have that in your change room is unbelievable.
Do you think Ken made a mistake in letting him go?
Yeah, I think they probably did. But then I think they've said every year for the past like 5 years that this is the last year, and he's kept on doing what he's done. So I think they probably had to call it a day at some stage, but it's quite hard after the summer, well, the end to a summer that he had to call it an end. I think he wants to go into coaching. So he wants to play like a player coach role. And I don't think Kent want that yet. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens. I mean, imagine someone will want that.
I mean, to have someone who's won two domestic trophies in the last 2 years, both T20 and the 50, it's not a bad player to pick him up. Would you have him at Hampshire? Would he fit in at Hampshire, sorry?
He'd definitely fit in, yeah. He'd definitely fit in, and I think the experience would be unbelievable. But yeah, I don't know what would happen. I don't know if we've shown any interest or not, but I've heard quite a few counties have shown interest, and he's in discussions with them. But yeah, I think he enjoys the Guinness as well, so always always would be nice to have Vat in the change room.
No, I think he'd be an incredible player to learn off. But obviously, so you mentioned earlier, your actual debut for Hampshire wasn't this summer, but it was summer before. Just talk us through sort of that process that day. When did you find out you were going to make your debut? Sort of how did you feel about it? Just give us a little bit of background to it.
So that there were quite a few of us getting our debut on that day. I think there were maybe five or six who made their list day debut. So that probably made it a bit easier. I was the only one that hadn't played professional cricket yet. So I was really nervous. Wasn't 100% confident in my game at the level yet. I suppose I've never been tested, so I wouldn't really know. But really, really exciting game, playing against some big names and playing with big names, having, as I said, Abbo being our captain, someone I've always looked up to, and suddenly being able to open the bowling with him. That was a really cool experience for a season. And to be able to speak to him at mid-on or mid-off and kind of learn off him during a game is probably something I won't forget. So.
I mean, I know we've talked about this, you said there wasn't any sort of like initiation, but is there any sort of rituals that go around Hampshire and what happens towards the end of the game for debutants or even if it's just a normal game?
So we don't really have any initiations, or at least none that I know of. So if we do, I still have to find out about those. But we have a song which we sing after every game we win. And I'd say that's probably the closest like thing to a ritual or something to have. Because I didn't get to sing it that often last season. So coming into the 50-over comp this year, I'm still not 100% sure on the words. So I was a bit nervous. After the first win, I was like, I don't really know the words again. But got to the end of the comp and I think it's kind of stuck in my head now. Can't really get it out.
And just sort of thinking more about you yourself, your personal game, have you felt like your game's developed since you've come to the UK?
Massively, yeah. I'd say even this last season, from the start of the season to now, it's a massive improvement. I got injured just before the 50-over comp, so I was out for 2 months, which again, I think was a blessing in disguise. So I got to work with our bowling coach for a month and change one or two things. Worked with our S&C coach on one or two things. So I went into that comp really fresh, but it helped put my game somewhere where it can really go forward now, which is quite exciting, particularly for this winter. Just one or two things to work on, and it could be in quite a good space, hopefully. So our bowling coach, Graham Welch, he's a really positive guy and always looking like at the kind of like a glass half full mentality. So that's rubbed off really big time with me, but also the whole bowling group. He's been a revelation for all of us. So yeah, it's exciting to have him around and be able to learn off him.
Are there any players or particularly like famous cricketers that you look to model either your bowling action or your batting off? Is there anyone that you sort of tried to like resonate with?
So it's kind of always like changed. Obviously, like growing up watching Dale Steyn, I suppose everyone idolized him. He was just a freak. So growing up, trying to be like him, I'd say. But then Pat Cummins, always enjoyed watching him bowl, how accurate and how good he is and how easy he makes it. But recently, with the one or two things I've changed in my action, apparently it's quite similar to Arnav Panukia from South Africa, which is, if I can get half of what he has, if I can put on 2 or 3 miles, that would be unbelievable. I don't think my body is in a place to bowl what he bowls. It's probably double my size in every way. He looks like a massive human being. So he's probably a current person that I'm kind of not idolizing, but mimicking my game off and trying to take certain attributes from.
And sort of within the Hampshire setup itself, is there any player, whether it be player or coach, anyone who's been particularly helpful, sort of taking you under their wing?
So probably the whole team's been really good. In particular, probably Keith Barker and Kyle Abbott. They, in terms like a bowling side, from the day I arrived, really, Abbo always making trials okay. Even outside of cricket, if I needed anything, I can always chat to him. And then Barks also became like that. And they both to talk to about my game. And they almost know my game better than I know it. So it's nice to have a bit of a soundboard and someone you can just throw ideas at and see what they think. And to watch them do what they do in the champo is ridiculous. How they're doing what they're doing at their age is quite scary, and they're in a lot of pain, so I'm not so sure my body will be looking forward to that in 10 years time if I'm still playing. But yeah, they to be able to have them around and for them to care for me and try and help me is something which I'm really appreciative of.
Well, it must be nice with Carr as well to have that sort of that piece of home, just someone that you can sort of relate right back to with.
Yeah, definitely. So I think that's initially why I kind of like gravitated towards him last year, just being South African. I was like, well, bit of home there. But we quite a South African team in a way. There's myself and Abbo. Then there's Brad Wheel, who's from Durban. And then obviously our head coach, AD Burrell, he's from the Eastern Cape. So quite a lot of South African blood within the team.
And so obviously this summer has been the one sort of show everyone who you are, what you can do, what for you is next now. So looking forward to next season, what's the next step? What are you hoping for?
I really want to play red ball cricket. I'll try and push for a spot in the red ball team. Obviously the team we have, that's going to be really hard, but just trying to do the best I can. I still see that as like the pinnacle of the game. And then if you can do well in that, obviously the T20 stuff, the white ball stuff, the franchise stuff, I feel will come. So just, yeah, trying to bowl as well as I can and just put my name in the hat for all the red ball cricket.
Nice. Well, John, thank you very much. Just before we finish, a lot of our listeners are sort of in the 16 to 20 sort of age bracket. If you had one tip for any young player who's trying to make that big step up from school cricket and grade cricket into the pro game, what would it be?
It's quite hard, that. There's probably a lot of things.
One or two.
I'd say one, yeah. One would probably be believe in yourself. Believe that you are good enough, but then also do everything you can to put yourself in a position to be successful. So if it's like the extra work, make sure you do the extra work, all that type of stuff, and have fun while you're doing it. I suppose there's no point in playing the game if you're not having fun. I still see that as the most important thing when I go out. If I'm not enjoying playing, why am I playing really?
Completely. I think you'd find any professional sportsman would probably agree with that. You talk about doing everything to get yourself in that position. What particularly did you do that you felt was the thing that was the key difference to get you in that position?
Probably at school, just kind of having the goal of this is where I want to end up, this is what I want to do. And like the gym work, like extra gym work, extra batting, extra bowling, extra conversations around people. Just basically anything extra you can do. Try not to just have the two or three training sessions a week. Otherwise, if you're kind of not doing more than the person next to you, it's going to be quite hard to make it and be better than them. So, yeah.
Well, John, thank you very much. You are the first cricket guest we've had on the podcast, so that's a big thank you. Big thank you to you. That was great, though. So wish you the best of luck next season, and I'm sure we'll be following you very closely. So thanks, buddy.
Thanks so much for having me on, and hopefully you can get some more cricket guys and a bit of a cricket following. Yeah!
Social Podcast Network.